back to second hour of the World Survival Show here on RBN. We are taking calls this hour. Caller number is 1-512-248-8252. Okay, Rick, go ahead and finish your thought there, and then we have a caller on the line.
Sorry, you caught me with my hands full.
That's okay.
You say there is a caller on the line?
Yes.
You.
Well, we wouldn't have time then for me to really get into. We will talk here in a few minutes about cliff highs.
I accidentally dropped Laurie. So.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm wondering, all those people down in Texas, they lost their power, how they're getting their Bitcoin out. And if I had a Van Gogh, I'd still have the painting.
You would, but you wouldn't be able to turn it because the art dealer is closed. So they don't have to get their Bitcoin out. They can use the ones and fives that I asked them to store up to augment, to complete their well-rounded preps, or they can use their 1964 silver coins. They can do any of those things. Plus, they don't need to go to the store anyway because they listen to this show and they've already got their water all squared away and they got their food. They don't have to go to the store for 6 months.
What if the power never comes back on?
It will.
Then you ain't going to need the Bitcoin anyway.
Well, no, probably not. But, you know, do you have car insurance?
Pardon me?
I mean, do you have car insurance? Do you have life insurance?
No.
Well, what are you going to do?
The only insurance I have is that gold and silver. That's when he says, put your treasures in heaven. That's the insurance I got.
You know full well that I agree with you there. But I don't think that you don't have a family living with you, do you?
No, I take care of my mother. She's 85.
Well, God bless you. Look, I mean, in the end, isn't that all we really need? I mean, but you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, and he's talking to Clarence the Angel, and he asked Clarence, you wouldn't have to have $6,000 on you. And he said, oh, no, we don't use money in heaven. And Jimmy Stewart looks at him and says, oh, yeah, of course not. Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, Bob. So, you know, that was what I would say to you. Until you die, you better have what would we call that, spirit insurance? You're going to have spirit insurance, and you're going to cash it in on that last day. But until then, I think having some money, some food, maybe a nice rifle, some little bit of silver and stuff. But, you know, but for God's sakes, keep an eye on your mother and your neighbor. That's what you got to do. I mean, if you wanted my opinion.
Well, that's what I already do.
All right.
I just figured the Van Gogh would come off the wall and I could sell that because I can touch it.
Someday you can. Yeah, you certainly could. And you'd get millions, I'm sure.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Well, what a character. You know, he's not wrong. I mean, but once again, you know, we got a yardstick out there, and what we have is somebody focusing on the part that goes from 25 inches to 36. We all know, and I've said it 1,000 times, I want you to focus on the numbers between 1 and 36. Yes, you have got to stay right with God. Of course you do. I never said you didn't. But in the meantime, you know, you can't share anything you don't own. So if you don't have any food, if you don't have a little bit of silver hanging around, if you don't have the right kind of heart where you can help your neighbor, if you don't have food, if you don't have any way to clean water, you're going to have problems, you know. And if it's your aim to, let's say, in my opinion, it's basically a form of idiot suicide, not to be able to take care of yourself while you're alive, and it's unconscionable. for you not to be able to take care of your family. That's your responsibility. You really need to be doing all these things. Is it really that complicated? You know. Remember back about 100 years ago when 90% of humanity was agrarian. They lived on or near or worked on farms and that kind of thing. Now it's the other way around. It's less than 10%. But those people always knew all. These people always knew all that stuff. They knew all those things. They knew how to take care of themselves and to go to church and stay right with God. They knew all of these things that we're talking about. It's only become, what should I say, weird and suspect over the last 5 or 10 years when you say to somebody, you need to do all these things, and they're like, just hold on a minute. I don't know if I do. You know, you do. You just really do if you want to be a Renaissance man or woman. And who doesn't love a Renaissance woman, by the way? Silence, where are we going?
All right, we got another caller. We've got Joe in Oklahoma on line 5. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, enjoying the discussion y'all are having. However, my 2 cents worth are that I was real hot to buy some Bitcoin when you could buy it for less than $10, and everybody told me what an idiot I was for even considering it.
Oh, darn.
And, you know, obtaining cell phone tower leases, I was called an idiot for that. And so consequently, I bought into what everyone said. However, with regard to Bitcoin, I think it's a whole different deal. And if you look at gold and silver, it is mined from the earth. And we don't know how much there is. There's speculation as to the amount of the gold reserves and silver reserves all over the earth. But apparently they know exactly how many bitcoins there are left in the computer. But with that said, all wealth comes from the earth. It has to originate from the earth, not in somebody's mind, not on somebody's painting on the wall or whatever. All wealth must be harvested from the earth. That's an economic maxim. So why don't we go back to the tulip deal?
Are you talking about
why don't we just start trading tulips again?
Oh. Yeah, I remember that.
Why don't we start trading tulips instead of Bitcoin, and that way everybody can plant some tulips?
Well, I don't know if you're going to get too many people to sign on for this. I mean, I love tulips.
Hey, it's a sham. It's a sham, folks, because there's nothing there. It's, you know, who can own it? Who can own it except a damn banker? The bankers are going to control it, as you've already said, and we already know what the bankers will do to you.
Are you talking about money or Bitcoin?
Yeah.
If the bankers buy into it, it's
going to be the same scenario as the dollar.
Well, there has been discussion along those lines that they are getting in, and the whole point of Bitcoin was to stay out of their system. So I don't think anybody has quite figured out. I don't think they can control it. I really don't. But there's always a possibility I could be wrong.
Well, you know, it's kind of like silver. I like silver rounds. I like junk silver and have for a lot of years because, you know, I can take one of those silver rounds, and even though it may be worth under $30, I can buy a gallon of gas with it. Somebody will trade me a gallon of gas, but who's going to trade? How am I going to sell even a piece of a Bitcoin? Who's going to take it? Because intangible.
If you have a MasterCard or a Visa or PayPal, it instantly converts to cash from Bitcoin.
I don't own a credit card, don't own a debit card, want one or anything.
Well, you were asking how
currency.
I was telling you.
Well, don't you? I believe you called in a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I haven't called in. I haven't called into this program for quite some time.
Well, sorry to hear that.
You don't have to own those. You don't have to.
I listen all the time.
Of course. Well, that's cool. Yeah, well, obviously you don't have to operate with those things. You can stay outside the system. I would say that I do think when this becomes cashless, which will be sooner than later, you're going to have a problem trading, and that is going to be an issue.
Well, I disagree with you because the people I do folks business with either take cash or my check, or I don't do business with them.
Yes, I remember
that. It's that simple.
Yes. Well, all right. I appreciate that, but I'm not sure that's terribly practical advice for the entire group here. But I do. I respect your opinion.
Well, I think it's a sham.
Yeah.
The people that got in early are going to make a fortune if they cash in.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like the tulips. When people finally figure out that there's no value in tulips, it goes away. Thank you for your time. Enjoy listening.
Thank you, sir. Interesting. If people do cash in,
thank you.
Thank you. If they do cash in, they will be converting a hard asset back into bullshit U.S. dollars. So, and I'm not saying that I disagree with Joe. Well, I do disagree with Joe about the exact nature of what we're discussing here. I'm also not a Bitcoin salesman, as you know. What I am trying to tell you folks is that things are changing right under your feet, and if you don't see it, you're going to be caught out in the middle of the street when that train of Amish buggies comes down and runs you over by their horse-drawn carriages. So, the only reason you would want to convert anything hard like silver or Bitcoin into the U.S. dollar is to affect some sort of a transaction that you can't affect, leaving it like it is. So, I would say, yes, there's going to be a period of time when you've got to convert an asset into whatever currency we happen to be using so that you can transact. And last, of course, and Tim, of course, is correct. We have PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, Square, and all these payment systems are now dealing in Bitcoin. So you won't actually have to use your bank to convert. But I think there will be a period of time when banks aren't used for much except to facilitate transactions. And I don't know what else they're going to be good for. I think they'll probably just eventually go the way of the horse and plow, the horse pulled plow. But, what do I know? So what do you think, Tim? What do you think about all this?
Well, I actually am on your side on this one, buddy. But I absolutely understand Joe's point. In the short term, Bitcoin may prove to be useless in the short term, not the long term. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Right now, we've got a bunch of callers stacking up. Folks, five-minute rule is going to apply for the rest of the show. So next, we're going to Michael in New York on line three. Good morning, Michael.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Michael.
Regarding great to hear you. Great, I hope all is well with everybody, and it's great to hear you. regarding the system, Rick, where it all goes digital right now. That's inevitable. That's the plan that they want to impose upon us to make life much more difficult for us. I mean, that's right.
Well,
we know that's really why they want that.
Well, you'll because be tracked 24/7. That's your tracking.
You don't have any savings under that kind of system.
You don't have
any
privacy.
And they can tax you. I'm sorry, what's that?
I say, and you won't have any privacy either. They'll know when you buy a stick of gum.
Yes, but in addition to that, yes, and along with all that, they can tax us anytime they want, right? I mean,
right.
All they got to do is press a button, access our account, and withdraw the funds.
Well, Michael, can I take that one step further? I can say they can erase you anytime they want.
Oh, and yes, absolutely. They can bankrupt you instantly anytime they desire. And so now that kind of system that they're going to impose upon us, how much of a future will that have? It won't be that long, okay? Because it's just not going to be agreeable with the society, okay? And with all the producers in particular, okay? Now, the non-producers, it don't matter to them, all right? Because they collect welfare anyway. But all the producers that earn their way through life, they're not going to be happy with that system, content with it, and there will be an underground currency.
Oh,
right?
I would hope.
And that underground currency will be silver, gold, copper, as always, and bartering other necessities of life. Now, as far as the Bitcoin goes, I mean, everybody's points are well taken and are accurate. But the bottom line to Bitcoin is, who determines the value of the Bitcoin?
The market.
Whatever you're willing to pay for it. Whatever the free market does.
Okay, so if we go on that, then the free market is currently saying the Bitcoin's worth about $40,000, I think, in you Federal Reserve notes currently, somewhere around there?
About 56.
Okay, it's up to 56 Federal Reserve notes now? Okay.
Yes.
So supposedly, the free market is determining that. And then I say BS to that one. Okay? It's a Ponzi scheme. That's all it is. It's another Ponzi scheme. There's nothing to it. It has no substance. Now, I understand your position and what they told us about it, that there's only so many, they can't make any more, and I say BS to that as well. They can do whatever they want at any time they want. They demonstrated that to us since the Federal Reserve Act came into being. Now, as far
hold on. Well, wait a minute. I need to correct one point there. The Federal Reserve is not the one who is creating or proliferating Bitcoin. That is not their system. Their system is the dollar. So when you say they, did you mean the Federal Reserve?
Yes, so I'm not saying specifically that the Federal Reserve is behind the Bitcoin, even though I'm not saying they're not either, because I don't know. You don't know. We only know what they tell us, right? But what I'm saying is that since the Federal Reserve Act has come into being with that private bank cartel, they have manipulated our economy, the stock market, in every way upside down that is possible. And so we know that they can do whatever they want and get away with it, and they've been demonstrating that for the last 100 years.
Well, Michael, I just want to inject one theory here, and that is that these central bankers have created a massive problem by overprinting the currency. And the only thing they can think to do, now that they've created this massive problem, is to print more. They have no solution to the problem. They just, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're drowning, here's a drink of water. So that's kind of where they're
agreed. At. Yes, Rick, that's absolutely true. And that's an outcome or a result from the outcome when they took the Federal Reserve note currency off the gold standard, so that gave them the ability to keep printing as much as they wanted. But as far as the Bitcoin...
Okay, gentlemen.
We're out of time during the segment. Go ahead, Gordy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please hold on.
Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money now, did not care. Count my friends, out for a good time.
In a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Show here on RBN. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and go to our next caller.
Yeah.
We have Dave in Nevada on line 9. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing good.
The old Bitcoin debate rages on.
It does. Very emotional issue, I guess.
I don't think it should be. I mean, if you don't want to invest in Bitcoin, just don't do it.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't have to get angry about it. I mean, it's like this gold bug crowd. If you don't buy gold, you're not a constitutionalist. Well, gold isn't constitutional money anymore. We don't use it as money.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. In Venezuela, they had hyperinflation. They were not trading gold and silver. They were using Bitcoin. I know this. This is a hyperinflationary scenario.
You have these same thing out in Nigeria right now. Yeah. The Nigerians have such a problem with the banks. And the banks now, what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to charge, is it 60 or 100% premium if you buy crypto? Because the Nigerians don't want to deal with the banks anymore, so they're trading in Bitcoin, cutting their criminal banks out, and the banks are irritated. So, yes, You've got the same thing going on in Africa right now that happened in Venezuela a little while back.
Yeah, I think you have to pay attention kind of to what's going on around the world and seeing how it's these scenarios are working out. And I think in those types of scenarios, it's not going to be gold and silver. It's going to be either cash, hard cash, because I still think cash is king no matter what, because it's the most liquid thing. It's either going to be cash or it's going to be Bitcoin. And then, if it's not,
Everybody repeatedly to have some ones and fives around, go get 100 ones or 100 fives and keep them somewhere because you might need them at some point.
Right. I'm just big on cash, and I don't care what people say about it. If you think your cash is trash, you can send it directly to my bank account, and I will give you my bank account number. I'm not joking you.
Well, take 30 of those caches and go down there and get a piece of silver with it. That's what you ought to do.
The other thing I wanted to say was, the idea of, here's something that I thought of why, one of the reasons why Bitcoin is pumping is because my definition of what Bitcoin is not that it's a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin is a unit of electricity. In other words, takes a tremendous amount of electricity to create one single Bitcoin. And that's what limits And that's what limits the amount of Bitcoin that can be produced at any given time. You can't just print it out like paper. And if you notice,
that's true. If you notice electricity is going up. Yeah. Well, you know what
they say. Like what's going on in Texas?
Well, what they say is the price of Bitcoin will be whatever it costs to mine the very last coin. And God only knows what in energy that's going to cost to mine that 21 millionth coin. It could be ugly. It could be real ugly.
Right, because the price of energy is obviously, in case you haven't noticed, it's going up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
or is the value of the dollar going down?
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. I was just playing.
Yeah, no, but it's either way, it doesn't really matter because it's just going to affect the little guy. At any rate, so it's going to be what money is. It's just a simple function of supply and demand, because if you have something that's limited like energy, the demand is going to go up. And that's what creates the price going up in Bitcoin. It's a combination of energy prices going up and then demand going up at the same time.
Well, and the money printing. Now, don't forget that as these people are increasing the money supply by about 15% a year, the value of the dollar goes down, which makes it look like Bitcoin goes up. But that's just part of the math. That's part of the equation
Right, exactly.
Okay, Dave, if you want to hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break.
I got one more thing to say.
Okay, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Hold on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Our call-in number is 1-512-248-8252. And Tim wanted me to remind everybody that Extendivite has a sale going on. You want to tell them about that, dear, real quick, before we let Dave finish up?
What it is, every year Extendivite has a sale through the month February. They are our show's sponsor. You can get 10% off right now by going to Heart Drop. HEARTDROP.com. And like I said, it goes right through the end of the month, so you've got about a week to buy it at a significant discount. All three of us use it, and it does the job, folks, and that's all I'll say about it. Okay, do we still have a caller waiting?
We do, Lori? But Dave needed to finish up. Dave had one more question.
Thank you. Okay, so I just wanted to say one quick thing. I think people are confusing this idea of what gives something value, and they keep using this term intrinsic value. There are very few things in life that actually have quote unquote intrinsic value.
We should like do a show on that. We should actually do a show on that because that is a great subject.
And the reason why I'm saying this is because one of the previous callers, they mentioned a Van Gogh painting, which run between like $10 and $100 million per piece.
Right.
Now, if you took the number of hours that he put in to make this painting, I don't know how long it took him, maybe a year, the cost of paint and the cost of the canvas, I guarantee you it did not come close to $10 million. So why is it worth $10 million?
Because someone will pay it.
Pay for it. It's called demand. There are very few things in life that actually are worth intrinsically what you pay for them.
My wife.
This idea of intrinsic value is very misused.
It is.
It's very misused.
Well, there's,
and that's
where
people get confused.
Well, there's an intrinsic value and there's market value. And the two things are not the same.
Yeah.
I remember that interesting movie called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where Robert Thomas Johnson, got into the back seat of the Soggy Bottom Boys and said, what are you doing back there at those crossroads? So I'm at the devil back at the crossroads, and he taught me to play this here guitar real good, and I traded my soul for it, and Tim says to him, oh Lord, not your everlasting soul. And he said, well, I wasn't using it none. So the question becomes intrinsic value. What does a person think a thing is worth? It is a fascinating subject all unto itself.
Right. So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because people bring that up all the time when they talk about, well, I'd rather have a Van Gogh painting.
Yeah.
Well, why is it worth $10 million? Right?
Yeah. Because you said, yeah, because this guy will pay. This guy's got
someone will pay for it.
and he'll buy it. Yeah, that's right.
Anyways, thank you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. Okay, our next caller is Sherry in Kansas on line 11. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
Morning.
Yeah. That's a good point on intrinsic value, historical value. Now that's something different, but
it is.
There's so many variables on this Bitcoin stuff that, you know, unless you got that money to lose, I would.
I've
listened to Catherine Austin Fitz lately, and
fascinating person.
The person who was interviewing her was talking about this deal trying to make the people that are keeping the silver market down, you know, make them pay and stuff, and where they wouldn't be able, everybody go out and buy physical silver. But, you know, her response was, well, if you're going to buy silver, go out and buy some land, because she thought the big thing was going to be food. And, you know,
I don't suppose
you guys talk about that
a lot,
and it's good.
I don't suppose you can give me the name of that interview. I'd like to hear that. But I don't suppose you know where you saw it.
A week ago Friday on the Power Hour.
Well, who do you know who she was talking to?
It was Daniel Brigman.
Thank you.
Pardon?
I'll give that a shot. No, I tend to agree with that. I do think food's going to be a real problem here coming up. And I like Catherine Austin Fitz, too. I believe she was what, Dallas Fed, or am I messing that up?
She was one of the Fed presidents.
She was, yes.
She worked for Dylan Reed. She was assistant. She was an undersecretary in HUD, starting in the Bush 1 administration. And the government came after her because her company had a program after she left government and was showing where all the money was going and how it was being. And they came after her, and she lost millions of dollars. But she's, you know, she's a straight shooter. But, I wanted to suggest people. I heard this interview on Hagman last night, and I don't usually listen to them, but it was there's a, it's called, the guy who was interviewing has made this movie, Brainwashed America, and it was to see it.
Free. Haven't heard of it.
It's Brainwashed, the movie.com.
Okay.
And they go back into the deal with the Korean POWs. And it was really amazing interview. If the movie's half as good as what he was talking about, but you know, that you were talking about education earlier, and they showed, you know, they talked about that's exactly what they're doing in our schools. That's exactly what they've done with this COVID crap. And, you know, and just so many people aren't seeing it. You know, and
isn't that just the most amazing thing, is that you can look right at a thing and it's so obvious that you're being played like a cheap harmonica and your next door neighbor thinks you're wearing a tinfoil hat. Isn't it the strangest sensation?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really amazing what they talked about, how they were able to do these POWs. They were able to get them so suspect of each other without, they weren't torturing them or anything, but that they weren't even trying to escape, and they suspected every, you know, all their fellow POWs of, you know, if they tried something, they'd snitch on them. And right. It was just amazing when they were talking about that. And that's what we've got now, is people screaming at you if you don't wear a mask out in public or something.
Yep. I know.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yep, this happened
that's
in
all
Nazi
I had.
Germany. This is... All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Sherry. Have a great weekend.
Can we click the callers here? There is one more thing that I really need to talk.
We got one more. You want to take him real quick?
2 minutes.
Yeah.
And we got to get
going. Okay, we got Glenn in Michigan on line 3. Good morning, Glenn.
Hello?
Hi.
You're on the air, sir.
Yeah, this is Glenn from Michigan. Love your bumper music.
Real quick, yeah.
Thank you.
To comment on two things. One very brief on real estate values in Missouri. Man, they're going through the moon right now. I don't need to, because I've been looking for property there for a while. Yeah. I mean, acreage that was trading for a grand is going for $3,000. Second, am I still there?
Yes.
You are.
Oh, sorry about
that. Hurry up, Glenn. Hurry.
I'm trying to do, I'm a derivative trader, and there's no difference between fiat and Bitcoin. Bitcoin can be fractionalized and support costs just because it's the underlying asset is electricity, means nothing. Look what happened in Texas.
Okay.
Right. And if you think that we're going into a digital currency, you know, other than buying a few trivial small items, we've been in a digital currency for 10, 20 years, even longer than that.
Yes, that's right. We have.
Right. Second, a couple of your callers said that it's a Ponzi scheme and all that, and you know, I hate to say it, but this is one of the biggest tulip bubbles I've ever seen in my life. And a lot of people are going to get hurt, and some people are going to make money. People that already made money made their money, and they're out of it. There's no difference between this and what happened with the Reddit deal and GameStop. It's just magnifying.
You're right.
1,000%.
That's true.
That's my opinion. So take it or leave it. Love your show.
Right. Well, we got to get moving. Thank you. I appreciate it, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. You have a great weekend, hon.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. There is one more thing that we need to discuss here before we cash out. Woonomics, Cliff High, you can watch this for yourself. Woonomics, if you can't spell it, write it in cursive and then read it. If we have his information is suggesting that between February the 24th, which is later this week, this is the reason I want to get this in this week, and March 25th, there is something in the language suggesting that something extraordinary is going to happen circulating around silver and Bitcoin, and I'm not sure his language was rather indirect, but he is suggesting that it could have something to do. February 24th, is delivery date for the SLV ETF, and there is a lot of speculation that a lot of people, including Elon Musk, whose entire fortune and future depends on silver. This man cannot function without silver. His solar panels, batteries, and vehicles use a lot of silver. There isn't a lot left. And their people are instead of accepting cash for their contract or rolling it over to the following month, are scanning for the delivery of the physical. And the requests for physical have gone through the roof, and some people are speculating that a lot of the SLV shorts and whatnot, the contracts, are going to stand for delivery. A lot of it has to do with Elon Musk. They're also suggesting that this short squeeze in silver is not the Reddit people, that the Reddit people don't have the deep pockets to do what's happening, that this is being done by much larger players, and that they're getting ready to collapse the system. The reason I wanted to get this in, and I apologize, Danny, if you got clipped as a caller, call back next week. We'll deal with that. The reason I want to get this in is because the 24th is probably what? Thursday? Thursday, maybe? Friday. Wednesday.
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 Wednesday. Okay, so before the next show, the date starts. So I want you to be in on the phone, just in case something happens. I want you to say you heard it here first. And there's also speculation that Bitcoin is going to freeze up at the $64,000 mark or thereabouts because the supply is going to dry. They being the people that know everything, say that nobody's selling silver at this moment except the paper shorts. Those are the only actual silver sales, and those are fake. So when these people stand for delivery of the physical, they will break the back of the COMEX, and silver will go straight through the roof, and it's supposed to happen between next Wednesday and spring. So I just desperately wanted to get that out there. And let's see. Well, I just want you to be aware of this prognostication, and just in case it happens, I want you to be able to be in on the fun.
You know, Rick, we've looked at Lori, I stepped on you. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to let you guys know that Ken said he likes Cliff High. His predictions that silver will rise the value in relationship to gold, and he thinks that will happen. So I just wanted to put that out there since he's,
good stuff. He and Bix Weir think that it could go 1-to-1 with gold. Could go 1-to-1 with gold, not 16-to-1, but 1-to-1. So if gold goes to 10,000, silver could also go to 10,000, and I will finally be able to buy the farmland next door, which is for sale at $33,000 an acre. Oh, yes. $33,000 an acre for 100, and all I got to do is come up with $5.1 million, and I can buy that field. Does that sound like a deal?
What are you waiting for, Rick?
I'm waiting for silver to go 1-to-1. That's what I'm waiting for. I need $5 million. I just need it. Unless anybody's got, where's Clarence the Angel when you need him? You wouldn't happen to have $5.1 million on you, would you, Bob? Yeah, I don't know.
Or to Clarence, no.
No, Clarence doesn't. No, they don't use $5 million in heaven. They don't use $1 million. They don't use 10 cents. The coffee's free up there. Did you know? Coffee's free. There's this guy, because I clicked on something health-related, I keep getting these videos from this guy called Sadguru. It's probably Sadguru. It's some Indian thing. He doesn't want you to drink coffee. He doesn't want you to drink alcohol. He doesn't want you to eat peppers or garlic. He doesn't want you to have sex. All he wants you to do is sit around and contemplate the glories of the next life. First of all, I have two things to say. First of all, no wonder they call him Sadguru. And I'm sure he is looking forward to the next world because he's turned this one into a living hell. No coffee, no alcohol, no peppers, no garlic, no sex. What is this guy thinking? Well, anyway, I just wanted to get that in there real quick. We are in the middle of Lent. The other day, I was going to take some coffee to work. Yes, Wednesday. Heated up my, put some hot water in my Yeti. Made some fresh coffee. Took off. Got a couple miles down the road. Took a sip of
hot water.
I forgot hot water. I forgot the switch. So I texted my wife, and she said, "Well, it is Lent." So I had to suffer right along with the sad guru. No coffee that day, just hot water. It was great. Well, do any we have a few minutes before I have to do the prayer. Anybody thinking anything? I enjoyed the show. By the way, I do want to say one thing to those callers who call in and they disagree about the nature of cryptos and all that. That's fine. I hold you in no disrespect. You will do what you will do. I just want to make you aware of what's happening around you, just in case I'm right. So anyway, please go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is, you know, we were talking about Cliff High. I've been following him since the early 90s, you know, back before the internet really existed. The first time I ever saw him mentioned, I think it was a History Channel special. You know, this guy has got an incredible track record of being right. His timing isn't always right. But it used to be real accurate. But now, I guess because of internet censorship and all that, his algorithms and all don't work. Well, make a long story short.
They don't work as well. Yeah.
But to make a long story short, after more than 20 years, or probably 26, 27 years, watching his predictions pan out eventually, every single time, I would really take what he has to say to heart. You know, he's not some psychic or anything like that. He uses technology and science to do what he does. It's that simple. You know, it's nothing mystic. And he has made an incredible fortune by being right these past 30-plus years. So,
Well, my son and I were talking about that, about you know, we're talking about people talking about a massive stock market crash in April. And we were talking about, I guess, what Cliff High does, and it is called self-fulfilling prophecy. That is to say, if everybody starts saying there's going to be a massive stock market collapse in April, if the language escalates, is it because it was always going to happen, or are they making it happen? We don't know, but that's kind of how Cliff's algorithms work. That's the way they work. He takes it off language, intensity of language, and other things. So you never know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. I just know I like both.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, he's saying there's going to be some kind of a big shakeup between February 24th and March 25th. Or 24th, one of the two, with the peak of the emotions being about the latter part of the first week of March. You know, that being the real peak. I think most people, if LVMA can't deliver to COMEX, or COMEX doesn't have the funds to buy from LVMA, you know, I believe that, you know, all hell will break loose, but I also believe it'll be a week before the common man figures out what's going on. I'm going to be watching it like a hawk.
Yeah, I tried to email Cliff this week because there's something that I want to know. I heard a very bright guy, his name's Doug Casey, and he is an economics guy, but he also is kind of a sociologist. He said, and I've said this before on the show, he said $75 silver means blood in the streets. Cliff High talks about numbers for silver going this year north of $600. What he's not talking about, what I want him, I don't know why he's not, why won't he tell us what that means in terms of social chaos? Because if $75 silver indicates blood in the streets, what does $600 silver indicate? I want Cliff to say it. I want him to say it with his own lips.
That
okay, guys, we need to,
yeah,
we need
it
to
is
do our
time
closing
to wrap it up.
Prayer.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess
your
was,
turn, Rick.
Yeah. It is my turn.
Yeah. Yeah, we
Michael,
got
the Archangel.
That's left.
Go. We have what?
3 minutes left.
Well, let's go. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay. Lori, go ahead.
Okay. As always, please remember our men and women in uniform and their families, the elderly, the homeless, especially this time of year. Thank you to our sponsor, Extendivite. Remember their sale that's going on through the end of this month. And thank you to all of our listeners and thank you to all of our listeners and callers. We appreciate all your input and your opinions. And God bless, and everybody stay safe.
Thank you, sweetie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been another quick show, at least quick for me. Quick means it's a good show normally. I hope everybody
was
able to learn something. Say again, Rick. Okay. Anyway, I hope everybody was able to learn something that they could take away from this show and find a use for in their lives. Please remember, we don't actually offer financial advice. We basically tell you what we believe is going to happen. Doesn't mean we're right. Just means it's what we truly believe. So I hope everybody does have a good week and a good work week ahead. And please, folks, remember, prayer is very powerful. Pray for the Republic. Pray for your family and your neighbors. Don't like them, pray for them. Yeah, it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But anyway, keep your head on a swivel. Maintain your situation awareness. So that's it for us. Same time, same channel next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.